I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
They're correct. Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:32 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. I am Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter. You can find me at Son of Crow on Venmo. To one side of me, back, because I'm no longer sick, the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett on Twitter. The S is for St. Louis Billikens this Saturday.
I'm going to be there. Everybody should be there.
What's Billiken?
Some little, like, troll demon-looking thingy. I don't know. I know somebody that went to St. Louis. You're going to track there.
Yeah. Bill Russell went to St. Louis. To the other side of me.
For, like, vacation?
No, for basketball.
Oh, okay.
Bill Russell went to the University of St. Louis Billikens. No, he didn't. He went to San Francisco. I'm wrong. The other side of me giving you full Fort Payne ASMR is a man of taste, a man who has 100 years of down home running through his blood, Iron Bowl champion AU Chief.
Hey.
Guys, first things first.
Everton. Oh, sorry. All I know are the words to the song. Everton, Everton, Everton.
Ryan, Everton Football Club had a pretty big win this weekend over Chelsea Football Club.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, can we talk about how the Braves signed Cole Hamels?
No. But
did they sign Josh Downs?
No, nah, he's okay. He's still getting his money.
All right.
They're waiting to get his money.
Cole Hamels. As a former Everton fan, I would say a win over Chelsea is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Especially this season.
We were in the relegation zone.
Is she that
zone.
Good at soccer?
Yeah, she is super good.
We were in the relegation zone when the game started. So, and now we're not. So, that's good.
It's a big 3 points.
Big 3 points.
Almost got sent back to CUSA?
Yeah. Legitimately. Yeah. And I don't know what would have happened. If Everton gets relegated, that's a bad deal. Bad deal.
To put it this way, they're the only team in the Premier League. They have the longest run of anyone in top flight football. Like, they have not been relegated.
Like 100 years.
Everyone else in the league has been relegated.
So they sound like a football team we might be playing, Minnesota.
Well, I'm not talking about this.
They've been around a long time.
Yeah, they
maybe
have.
Not doing much, but they've been around.
They've been around. The Minnesota Screaming Eagles?
No, he's talking about Minnesota.
The Gophers.
Gophers.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Coach Hayden Fox's Minnesota Screaming Eagles.
Again, I don't know what this is.
Was it Minnesota that Hayden Fox was at?
It's not the real Minnesota.
Right, though. But I thought it was...
It's Minnesota University.
State or something like that.
Maybe.
Oh, we're talking about the television show Coach, Ryan.
Yeah, again, I don't know what those nouns are.
Anyway, Ryan. So
Minnesota State University is Screaming Eagles football team.
The Everton fired their manager.
Imagine if Eagles actually screamed.
They fired their manager and a former player who is described by the two Robbies as the most terrifying player they've ever played against was the manager for this weekend. And which is a pretty cool story. And they won.
They won, which might mean that he becomes permanent manager.
Probably not.
But probably not. They're probably gonna hire
him. He doesn't seem in a lot of interviews he's made clear he doesn't really want to be the manager. He wants them to have the best manager they can possibly have. So
they're gonna end up hiring a retread because that's what sports teams do.
Yeah. Yep.
They're gonna hire some guy that somebody else fired. Or maybe that they fired. Like David Moyes.
That's never gonna happen.
It might happen.
He's not coming back.
Well, I mean, Ole Miss didn't rehire Hugh Freeze, so.
Rehired his younger.
the next best
the
thing.
The decade is still yet young.
That's an interesting thing that happened this week. We got some hires happening.
We got Lane back.
We got new family members to the SEC, guys.
Big new coach.
Is he new?
Well.
He's been around.
He
married one of the other cousins. Things didn't work out. And he's back.
I will say the SEC West is not getting any easier to win.
But it's going to be so much more entertaining.
Yeah, that's true.
The number one thing I noticed is Joey Freshwater looks a lot fatter and a lot older than he was just a few short years ago.
For people like me, who the only Ole Miss game that I'll probably watch next year is when they play Auburn and the Egg Bowl.
And the Egg Bowl.
This doesn't really move the needle as much.
Guys,
I said it makes the Auburn game work.
He's going to win 10 games at Oregon. Ole Miss.
I mean, maybe Oregon.
right before they go on probation again. Because that's the way this is it going. That is the way.
Is he going to be the first former Saban assistant to beat Nick Saban?
That's a good question. Yes. I'm saying yes. It's going to happen next year. And I'm going to give him a 10-year extension. No,
write it down, though.
It's not going to happen next year. Maybe in Saban's last season.
No, it's not going to happen next year.
Where
that roster at Ole Miss would take, he would take Vince Lombardi and a bus crash in Tuscaloosa for them to be...
I think it could be coming down the pipe at some point. So it's we may be seeing the cracks in the whole Nick Saban process starting to form. There was that whole
the dynasty post is over,
the
man.
Post that came out this week about their PEDs, which
yeah.
Shocking that their that strength and conditioning coach might be using for some uppers. Hey,
it's probably that deer antler spray. They just didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Guys.
I can't believe that guy's on uppers.
At some point.
Can't believe it.
At some point, it will come out that every major college football team is taking PEDs.
Sure.
Except for your team.
Except for your team.
Yeah, our team's
sweet. I can't really get that upset. Like, it's going to come out that Auburn's has taken something. Or
even Rutgers?
Well, maybe not Rutgers.
They got a little something else
Bandy?
Going on. A little something else
actually,
going on.
Yeah, Bandy's on Adderall. Someone from New Jersey, they probably are taking roids at Rutgers. There's a lot of meatheads up there, that part of the country.
Kansas? Yeah,
are they really recruiting
Jim
locally?
Jim Tan and Laundry. I don't know. Anyway. Who else is going?
We have already gone off the rails.
Gary Slayton.
We're supposed to be talking about basketball.
Gary Slayton has two touchdowns tonight.
That puts him at 7, which might be the most ever by an Auburn wide receiver. And it's his
and 99 year. Yards.
Guys. Darius Slayton was point shaving last year. So, I mean, it was happening.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just those route tree?
Oh, God, the route tree.
No, Gus doesn't have a route tree.
Man, if I hear the word route tree on call-in radio again, it's just...
Well, I just don't know why we're not lining up under center when we only have a few
shots. I'm going to say this right now, once and for all. There is no difference. None. And a quarterback getting a snap from shotgun and then running forward 5 yards for a first down. And a quarterback getting the snap from under center, running backwards and handing it off to a running back.
Right.
Who then has to run forward.
The running back, even if he's handing it off from the shotgun, the running back's maybe touching the ball first a foot further back.
Here's an idea.
If anything, you're getting your...
Why don't he's, we? But he's got a head full of steam.
Yeah.
Why don't we just eliminate a touch point and snap it directly to the running back?
Now we're talking.
I got an idea.
The Wildcat.
That is wild.
I will say this. I did this study 2 years ago on this very website. I had someone else do it because I don't watch a lot of game tape. The Wildcat's the most successful formation in Gus's playbook. It gets a first down on a higher percentage than any other formation.
Did you do this study when Kerryon was running the Wildcat?
Yeah.
Okay.
But well, it gets a first down.
Because we've had a lot of Wildcats that have not worked out.
Jatarvius Whitlow gets a first down or touchdown more often out of the Wildcat, I would say, from a percentage standpoint, than any other formation he runs out of. Hmm.
Maybe.
He almost pulled that ball back and threw it.
He almost threw it. He should have thrown it.
No. He was covered. He should not have thrown that ball.
Be a legend, Booby. Throw that thing in that
that's,
game.
That's
right there.
What Booby thinks every snap.
Be a legend.
I think he may be right about that.
Be a legend. All right, let's move on with the show notes. Auburn basketball defeated the Furman Paladins. No Palamine in den.
What's a paladin, girl?
A holy
it's
warrior.
A type of Christian warrior, I believe.
French, I believe.
Yeah.
Holy warrior. Well, I thought it was from World of Warcraft.
Well, possibly. I think it predates World of Warcraft. It's any of the 12 peers of Charlemagne's court, of whom the court palatine.
If you play Alliance, you have to play a Draenei to be a paladin, but that's neither here nor there, I guess.
So
these guys didn't have tails, so I'm guessing they're all whore.
In the medieval Chanson de Guest, Sagal of the Matter of France, the paladins are 12 peers, are the 12 foremost knights of Charlemagne's court, comparable to the knights of the round tables in Arthurian romance.
Interesting. So was Lancelot a paladin?
Well,
wasn't he French?
He was the British equivalent of.
I thought he was French, though.
Well, there's a lot of shared history at this time.
That's what it's called, with
the Normans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, we beat those guys, and they are usually a pretty sneaky good basketball
team. Yeah, I mean they're KenPom 73 right now. They're not bad.
Where's Furman located? South Carolina.
Sakalana, huh?
Furman is located at, wait, is in Furman, South Carolina, I believe.
Oh, wow.
It goes in Greenville, South Carolina.
Greenville, okay. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I've been through there.
Okay. Christian school, as you might imagine.
Yeah, well, Palatine set checks out.
Private
Holy Roman Emperor's Knights of the Round Table?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, we went overtime in this game.
Yeah, Ryan and I sat in the same row.
Yeah.
For this one.
Can you name me one former Auburn Tiger basketball great who was a Furman transfer? Quan Prowell.
Really?
Blast from the past.
Wow.
That's a name you just pulled out of the hat.
Nope.
You don't know. Forward. You don't know Quan Prowell?
Did he play before Bruce got here?
Yeah.
Is he not named Charles Barkley?
He was a Jeff Lebo pull from...
I knew zero Auburn basketball history until about Clifford 2015.
He's rolling over in his grave. He's not dead.
Sorry, Clifford. He's got a thriving folk singing career, whatever he does.
Cliff Ellis does?
Yeah, he has an album. You've never heard his album?
Is he still coaching Coastal?
I think so.
Now we're talking.
I don't know if Mamadou's still there with him. He was.
Yeah, we beat Furman, beat the Paladins.
How close was that shot at the end of regulation to falling?
I think it was pretty. I mean, you're talking about Joe Javon's?
Yeah.
I think it was pretty close.
I mean, no, I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, it just like went.
That was like Jared's in the Kentucky game last year, where you're just like, oh, he's just going to go for it.
Yeah.
And it just sat there on the rim and didn't fall.
I couldn't believe it didn't go.
Yeah.
I really want us to win with a three, though. It's going to be.
I wonder why.
Well, it was tied 66-66. Just a three-pointer to win the game would be perfect, right? Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But we did win the game in overtime, and it was amazing. It was fun. A lot of fun.
Is it a tub or this is Cliff Ellis?
I think so.
Oh, man!
Cliff
Ellis on Spotify.
Didn't know he had a...
Yeah. Yeah, Spotify is a great thing. You can find anything on there.
So if I told you we went 4 of 25 from 3, and we had 19 turnovers,
okay,
how do you think this game goes?
We probably lose. But if you tell me how many rebounds we out-rebounded them by, and you just told me that.
That's how you neutralize 19 turnovers.
Yeah, you out-rebounded a team by 20. You think
it's basically you've basically just wiped away your turnovers.
You out-rebounded a team by 20 points. You should win that game by 15.
Can I interest you? 39-24 rebounding.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
They had four offensive rebounds.
I kept being told it was our terrible shooting that is why we weren't winning. And of course, if you're shooting terrible, you're not going to score enough points. But if you turn the ball over 19 friggin' times, it really cuts into your ability to score points.
It's unbelievable.
But 4 of 25.
Yeah, we did not shoot well.
No, we didn't shoot well.
Kind of headlined by Samir's oversight.
I mentioned that we were flat on Twitter and was told that we were not flat. But
if anybody was in that building in the first half, that's as dead as Auburn Arena's been in a long time.
It was so flat. Everything was flat about it. We couldn't shoot. The guys just were like, there were some bursts of energy here, but they seemed like dudes that hadn't played in 9 days,
mm-hmm.
which is what has me worried about this next game. But we're not going on to that yet. So.
Hopefully, Bruce looks at this last game and shows them this is why you don't.
I was hoping we'd schedule a scrimmage with somebody this week or something.
Well, I think Bruce has got enough motivation now to go, hey, you guys can get
beat. Oh, Bruce loved
taking
that bad boy to overtime in that
game.
You think you're going to keep trying to have everybody force the ball inside of Wiley when he's double and triple teamed?
Here's the problem.
Like, Wiley is great, now, but when he doesn't even get to touch the ball.
It wasn't Wiley.
No.
Oh, no, they were all bad passes.
It was the worst passes.
They kept telegraphing them, I think because they're afraid he's not going to catch it.
It's the worst.
But they were awful passes.
I don't know if no one... Well, here's the thing. Nobody teaches entry to post passes any longer.
So theoretically, you would want your point guard being the guy to feed it inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Javon McCormick had zero turnovers. Austin Wiley had zero turnovers.
Wow.
Samir and Isaac both had six.
Samir had his worst night and ended up sort of taking over the game.
Almost getting a double. He had 13 points.
He had the 8 rebounds, though?
No. That was
he Isaac. Shot pretty
that's
loud.
Right. He had over
Isaac
seven.
Had 9 rebounds.
Isaac had 9. Almost got a double-double.
Apparently, Austin had a double-double. Austin's only listed with two steals, but he had three steals.
He had three, yeah.
Yeah, Austin had a really good game. We don't win that game without Austin Wiley.
He also had the best post move I've ever seen him do. He drop-step dunked on a dude. Slammed it in his face. Shaq style.
He might get a chance to do that again this week.
Oh, that'd be great.
That's our segue into Auburn versus St. Louis, the Billikens. A Billiken, Ryan, you guys talk about this. Is it a
bird?
Some sort of dumpling or Irish
curse. Is it a bird?
It is a mythical good luck figure who represents things as they ought to be, according to the school. It's a charm doll created by an American art teacher and illustrator, Florence.
This can't be real.
Kansas City, Missouri, who is said to have seen a Billiken in a dream.
Wait, so it's not even like a folklore thing. It's literally just made up.
Someone was high on acid and they created this, and now there's
In 1898.
From St.
1896.
Oh, I don't think they had acid back then.
In 1908, she got a design patent on the ornamental design of a Billiken, which she sold to the Billiken Company of Chicago. It was a monkey-like with pointed ears, a mischievous smile, and tuft of hair on its pointed head. It's the god of things as they ought to be, she says. And now it's the official mascot of both St. Louis University and St. Louis University High School, Jesuit institutions located in St. Louis.
Wait. Do what now?
Question? St. Louis University High School.
Yeah, University High. A lot of people places have that.
Okay.
It's a private high school that's...
Can the high school recruit?
Is that like that USA probably show?
University High?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, there was like a... Anyway.
The Billiken is the official mascot of the Royal Order of Jesters, which is an invitation-only Shriner group that's affiliated with Freemasonry. There you go.
Yeah.
So we're playing the Freemasons, guys. The Freemasons. Wake up, sheeple. We've got to get this game.
Is Nicolas Cage and Sean Bean going to show up at this thing?
If Sean Bean shows up, it's going to end poorly for him.
Nicolas Cage is going to steal Austin Wiley.
Never seen those movies.
Never. We've got to steal... I can't think of an important Auburn document. We got to steal the original Gospel.
You're going to steal the Creed.
What's your favorite Nick Cage movie?
Favorite Nick Cage movie? The Rock.
No.
Well, I watched National Treasure a lot as a kid, but Gone in 60 Seconds is a pretty good movie.
Okay. You stole mine.
The Rock? The Rock's the best one.
Top. I mean, it's the best Michael Bay movie. It's
better than Transformers?
It's the only good Michael
Transformers
Bay movie.
Transformers is actually not
the
a
sequel?
Bad one. Oh, God. The second one is so, so very bad.
The worst part about Transformers is the most unbelievable part of a movie that takes place with alien robots who fight a battle on Earth is that Megan Fox is attracted to Shia LaBeouf. That's the most unbelievable part of that movie. The whole movie, there's no way that's happening.
I'm pretty sure he's...
Or, second most unbelievable part, Megan Fox is a high school student in the movie. She's at least 28 years old.
She wasn't then, though. She was still pretty young at the time.
She was not 17.
I think she was...
Was she older or younger than Shia?
Who?
Shia LaBeouf.
They're around the same age.
Shia LaBeouf starred the movie North.
Now, she married a man very much older than her in Brian Austin Green. This is your Us Weekly podcast. Thanks for joining
Elijah Wood was the star of North, not Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf was in Ryan's favorite movie, Holes.
It is a great movie, guys.
Did you ever see North?
I've never heard of North.
You'd love it. We still gotta watch Captain Ron.
We gotta see North. Started 94.
Megan Fox was 21 when Transformers came out.
Well,
she was probably 19, 20 when it was filmed.
Yeah.
She's not only a high school student that I went to high school.
Obviously. You know she's from like Chattanooga or somewhere.
No way. Go Mox.
She's from Tennessee.
So St. Louis.
Big Lookouts fan.
They're on a river as well, just much like the Chattanooga Mox.
Different river.
So they're
we match up super well with them.
Yeah, we do. They think they can rebound in the offensive glass.
Yeah,
they haven't played Austin Wiley yet.
Let me read you the starting. Let me read you their starting lineup. Or
height wise.
Yeah, starting lineup. By that I mean I'm just gonna actually read
their top 5 minutes, guys.
Their top 5 minutes, guys. Exactly. Actually, I'm sure we the top 5 points, guys. Their top 5 points, guys, are 6'3", 6'7", 6'5", 6'2", 6'6".
All tall people.
Sounds like an older...
Taller than me.
Sounds like an old-time Auburn lineup there.
They got a guy who's 6'10", who's a freshman. who averages 2 points a game.
Big contributor.
And 3 rebounds. And another guy who's 6'10", who's another freshman, does not play hard.
We didn't even talk about how Austin probably played his most minutes in an Auburn shirt the other night.
Right.
29.
Yeah.
In an overtime game.
Still, it's...
But he played the whole overtime because Anthony was, fouled out.
Yeah.
And Anthony had
really fast.
Well, because those
he was 9-5.
Those officials, man.
3 fouls.
They looked up. They saw, oh man, we've called 10 fouls on these guys and 3 on Auburn. They called 3 really quick fouls in succession on Anthony. That whole foul disparity crap really bothers me. Anyway, we're off that game.
So we were talking about the best player on St. Louis,
Jordan Goodwin.
Jordan Goodwin. He's a former top 100 player. Hunter recruit. He is averaging a double double with 15 and 11, and he's only 6'3".
Yeah.
How is that, girl?
Well, he's a good rebounding guard, which is an amazing
thing. Much like our Javon McCormick.
Yeah. Much like our Javon McCormick. He's not.
Scoring more points than Javon.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'd say a lot of it is they haven't played anybody either.
They ain't played nobody.
They're like 300 and something.
They played number 17 Seton Hall.
And they got beat. Yeah. That's their one loss.
Yeah.
They've only got one top 100 win.
This, look.
And Jordan Goodwin is doing that, shooting 36% from three.
This would be real bad if we lost these guys.
That's not that great.
He's fine.
36%. He is good for Bryce, sixth on the team he's on.
I mean, they're a good three-point shooting team.
You're talking about like best player in the G League, Bryce Brown?
Yeah.
Dropping 11 for 11, yeah.
He's shooting 53 from 2, 36 from 3. He is shooting 51% from the free throw line.
This
guy, a team make,
this
which is
guy
barely worse than
one hell of a Tony Barbie player.
You're not lying. He takes per 100 possessions 22 shots for every 100 possessions. He chucks.
This guy thinks he's Jared Harper.
For every 40 minutes, he shoots 15 shots. For every game.
Is he a wing or is he their point guard?
He's their point guard, I believe.
They've got somebody else averaging like 6 or 7 assists.
He's 12 shots a game. He shoots 12 shots. Oh, I was reading. He shoots 50%. He shoots, 36 from 3.
Look, bottom line is, they are 102 in KenPom. It'd be very bad if we lost these guys.
Yeah, it wouldn't be great. It wouldn't be great. I would say, Ryan, did you ever figure out what the average opponent's best player points per game is
when guarded by Isaac Okoro? I'd have to go back and look. I don't think I've added the Furman game yet, but I know we did something similar.
Mm-hmm.
So the
over-under Jordan Goodwin scoring 10 points, I guess.
He'll score over 10.
Yeah, 10. I'll go over. Huh. But
he's only averaging 15.
Yeah. To your question, though, Crow, the opponent's leading scorer for the season is averaging about 5 points less against Auburn than they are the rest of the season.
That's why maybe he goes 10. Yeah, maybe it's like 10 on the nose.
Most of that's being guarded by Isaac Okoro.
Yeah, because if he gets 10, then that brings them. We got to stop this other kid. Because he's averaging 15 a game, but this Hassan French kid, who's a forward, is averaging 14.9 points a game.
Oh.
He's also in a double-double as well, yeah. They've got two guys averaging double-double. That's most of their output.
And both of them are defensive rebounding guys. They offensively rebound as well, but they're both defensive rebounding guys per game. And this kid, French, he stuffs the stat sheet. 2.7 blocks a game, 2.3 assists a game.
Is he the freshman?
A stealer per game. No, they're both juniors.
That guy's averaging 2 points, you said.
Yeah, Hassan French is a 6'7 forward from Middletown, New York, in the Commonwealth School.
Okay.
I would say Auburn's got to figure out a way to guard both he with Wiley and then Goodwin with Okoro.
Should we just foul these guys every time?
They're shooting 50% from free throw line as a team, which
literally
is horrifying.
53%. That's
hack a shack, but we don't want to get in foul trouble. That's the only
thing. Oh, well. Miles Parker's going to play some minutes.
Stretch Akinbola might play some minutes.
I hope. We got to get him some minutes.
Yeah, he can't start playing in conference play, but he's going to be the only big next year. Unless we bring somebody in, he's going to be the only big returning, at least.
Yeah. I mean,
so what do you think? They were going to win?
Yes,
we got this one. And then, guys, guess what? It's another
9 effing days.
Well, no, I think it was. It's another 6 days.
We play the following Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Big night for you.
Big night for me. I'm going to see Star Wars, and then I'm going to make the game at halftime.
Nice. NC
State.
My birthday is this Thursday.
Well, yeah. Happy birthday. So, 2 days after you hear this.
Yeah, 2 days after you hear this. It's my birthday.
Make sure you wish Son of Crow at Son of Crow on Venmo.
Son of Crow on Venmo. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Look, if we're going to get him back to the Final Four this year, we got to start fundraising now.
Well, it's only in Atlanta.
That's true.
That's true.
It's a quick drive to stay at home.
No flights.
Yeah, I don't have to sleep on Jeremy's floor.
I mean, you could have slept in the bed.
It's true.
It's fine.
It was a tough bet. It was a tough loss. All right, let's take a quick break and come back and talk a little football. We got a lot of football. All right. Do you guys want to talk about Dilly leaving first?
Yeah, we can hit that.
Sure.
Quickly.
Kenny Dillingham takes the offensive coordinator job at Florida State University.
I think I saw Six Pints on Twitter admit that he could not pick him out of a lineup, and I think I'm the same.
I couldn't either. If you put Kenny Dillingham and, let's say, actually, maybe Chad Morris. If you put Kenny Dillingham,
Chad one Morris, of them is 29, the other one is.
Yeah.
You put, I don't know.
NEGA?
Six random financial advisors from the local Charles Schwab branch. I probably wouldn't be able to pick him out.
I mean, so I don't think we're really surprised that he's taking this job at Florida State. I mean, he's going with Mike Norvell.
Who's his?
Who was his former boss at Memphis and is the guy that kind of took a shot on him.
Yeah.
Because, he's... Dilly's not a college football player or anything like that. He just decided to start
doing
football.
I don't know. I think this should... when he was hired last year, a lot of people... There were a lot of people out there that really just thought it was stupid. Oh, this is last resort. I think we knew exactly what we were doing. The plan was to get somebody who was familiar with the type of offense that Gus runs, that could help him with game prep, help prepare every week, recruit, do all that stuff, and help Gus situationally during games. I think there were mixed results there.
I think it got better as the season went along.
Right, and I was pretty excited to see what next year was going to bring with these two, if we could have it, because I just don't think there's any familiarity there. I don't think Dillingham knew exactly what Gus wanted at certain times, and it kept it from being as in sync as we wanted to be at times this year. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of looking forward to next year, seeing after working together for a year how that could progress. But
you're the new offensive line.
I think this proves, though. I mean. I guess it doesn't prove, because it's just the guy he used to work for rehiring him at a bigger job, though. And this guy, I mean, the pressure is on at a bigger job than he was at.
Oh, at a bigger job than Norvell was at, sorry. Yeah. I'm still not sure if Florida State's better than Memphis right now.
Yeah. the pressure's on Norvell there, and I don't think he's just going to hire somebody.
You want somebody to trust.
Right. And Dillingham, he's not going to hire somebody that's going to screw up. And I think Dillingham's going there to do what he's doing with Gus, but with Mike Norvell.
Right, because Norvell's a similar style head coach as Gus, where he's the offensive mind. It's his offense. And he recognizes that. I mean, that's fine.
Right. And I, this was probably always the plan. He sent Dillingham out to get experience somewhere else.
Probably not expecting it was going to be this
year. Right. It might not have been this year. Probably expecting it to be 2 years. Right. Similar to Gus taking that Arkansas job. Arkansas State job.
Arkansas job.
He thought he was going to be there for a few years.
Yeah, probably 2-3 years.
And then take a head coaching job somewhere. So...
Because he took the Arkansas State job, but wasn't the rumor that he was offered the Vandy job?
Oh, he was offered. He was offered the Vandy job the year before, after
James Franklin left.
Right, so 2011. No, after 2010.
Well, then
pretty sure.
James Franklin hadn't been at Penn State for 9 years, has he?
God, has he?
No.
He was offered it before... It was the year before he left to go coach Arkansas State.
Yeah.
Which he left 2011 then. So, anyway, he was offered the Vandy job. Didn't take it because it was not a good, wasn't the best situation for him. So,
They hired James Franklin in 2011.
Right. He took it, and James Franklin took it instead
of Gus.
Instead of Gus. But then the next year, the Arkansas State job comes up, which is...
Hugh Freeze was the one down there.
Right, and he gets to go sort of back home for that. Mm-hmm. It's a lower pressure job. He gets to learn how to be a head coach. He's only there a year, then he came back.
Right.
So, and now he's been learning to be a head coach here.
I got two changes of subject that I wanted to point out that
okay.
I forgot to in the last segment. First, shout out to Jack Condon for writing the write-up for the Auburn versus Minnesota.
JC.
And writing that Auburn has three Big Ten teams that it hasn't played yet. Illinois, Iowa, and Iowa State.
Jack.
I think he was joking. I think he was digging at Iowa State about being a Big Ten. I hope. Because Iowa State's in
sure.
Big 12.
I'm sure.
Others.
Well, I mean, he should know. He's the coach of Oklahoma. He's played out and lost to Iowa State.
I don't see that one.
It does. They look a little alike.
And he's more Cliff Kingsbury than Lincoln Riley.
He did do this. Danielle Purifoy, 11 hours ago, on his Instagram story, said that it was time to lock in. He was going to be off social media.
Oh.
And then 2 hours ago, he
posted. Well, wait. Maybe he was talking about locking in for finals or something.
Sure.
Right?
Time to lock in. He said I'm going to be doing less time on social media.
It's a sickness. He can't help it.
2 hours ago, he posted a picture.
We're going to be lucky.
Maybe it was...
we're going to be lucky if he
had to spend some time with Kim.
Right.
We're running up on the 1 year anniversary of some pretty interesting Danielle stuff.
Danielle content. I think that's why he's locking in.
All three. Love him.
Yep. Danielle's the most online player of all time.
He might be the most online person.
Yeah.
Short of our president.
Yeah. Very online.
Him and Deshaun Davis.
No. Yeah, Deshaun, not only online, Deshaun knows how to build a brand around being. Big Auburn fan.
Yeah.
He knows how to shit talk Alabama.
We should have him on the pod.
We should. He'd probably do it. Right?
Yeah.
Anybody know Deshaun?
I can get a hold of him.
Okay.
Let's see. We got more football to talk about. Derek Brown.
Hang on. Are we going to talk about potential replacements at OC?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Sure.
Chad Morris.
That's who my first choice.
It's Cody Burns.
I feel like the same people that are all on Chad Morris to Auburn are the people that were all on Chip Kelly to Auburn as well.
Chip Kelly?
After we fired Rhett Lashley or let Rhett Lashley go.
Oh yeah.
There's a big movement of Chip Kelly's gonna come to Auburn, we're gonna have the best offense ever.
People wanted him. I don't think
the difference is Chip Kelly and Gus have zero relationship.
Except for the
Chad Morris was in the locker room at the Iron Bowl.
I understand, but it's...
He was actually...
They're legitimately good friends.
Gus has like six long friends.
I understand all this.
He has
I just
six
feel
friends
like,
in the whole world. And he's
no, I...
Bringing in the head coach that's a good offensive mind to be your OC when you're already an offensive-minded, essentially OC head coach.
Yeah, but they run the same offense. And like he's bringing in Mike Leach to be his OC.
I'm right.
Just saying.
So you're not buying the Chad Morris thing?
I think it could definitely happen.
Uh-huh.
I think everybody that is all on board saying, yeah, this is what's going to happen, are a little ahead of themselves.
Well, I'm a little.
If you're Chad Morris, would you rather coach the Auburn offense next year or the Clemson offense next year? Because they've been opening too.
It looks like they might have already solved that.
Have they?
Problem there. Yeah. There was a whole write-up from a Clemson guy that says that they're just hiring within if that happens.
Yeah.
So, I guess you haven't been paying attention to the Slack today.
No, I've been more worried about the Alabama players coming back.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
You have it? I haven't. I couldn't tell you who's coming back or not.
Yeah.
Two is coming back. You didn't know that? Two is coming back.
For what?
According to one of these Clemson writers, it looks like that there's already a plan in place.
Well, I must have missed that.
I mean, I don't...
It could happen. I'm just not going to pretend to know.
I would bet. I don't know the details of his contract. If he took if he went to Clemson and got paid a lot, they're going to dock that out of his buyout from Arkansas.
Well, yeah, no, he's not going to make any more money.
So I don't think he's worried about the money. There's less pressure on him if he comes here to be OC because Gus wants to call plays. And if he doesn't have to call plays, that's less pressure. He's just hanging out with his buddy.
Yeah, but there's a lot better chance the offense could not be good next year here than when you have Trevor Lawrence at Clemson.
We've got Bo Nix.
We have a brand new offensive line.
We've got Bo Nix. It's fine. I don't know that that door is open to him, and I would
it yeah it may not be.
I think it's a mistake to think, oh, we're going to bring Chad Morrison and he's going to fix the offense because he's going to call plays, because that's not going to happen. Gus is calling plays. It's just it. He's never giving it back up. He shouldn't give it back up.
No. If we don't hire Chad Morris, what's the list? I think the next...
Cody Burns?
Yeah. I think Cody is...
Ryan Pugh, Cody Burns. Yeah. Just... Because, again...
Hire a quarterback coach, promote Cody. Malzahn. You just want your guy.
Barrett Trotter.
If we...
Sure.
We hire Gus Malzahn... We want Gus Malzahn run Gus Malzahn's offense. You don't hire Gus Malzahn and then have him go, well, I'm just going to really take my game management skills to the next level. We didn't hire you for your game management skills. We didn't hire Gus because he's a good CEO.
I've seen some people saying bring Rhett back. Rhett's not coming back to not call plays. So just get over that. The only reason I could see Chad Morris doing that is
a little bit of career rehab for Chad.
Yeah, it's basically like being an analyst, but he's going to come back.
It's exactly what Lane Kiffin did at Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Lane called plays.
It's true.
Chad, I really do think that it could be on his mind. I'm going to go hang out with my buddy Gus. We're going to scheme up all this great offensive stuff. I'm going to help him out and
coach my son.
I don't know about that.
I'd love for his son to come here.
Well, we'll see. Otherwise, you're just looking at maybe some underqualified guys.
Unless you hire Pat Nix.
Hey, I'd be down for it. I'm for it.
I'm not for it only because...
he's not calling, but he was a good offense coordinator.
But in basketball, this happens all the time.
Yeah, beat Auburn.
Oh, God. Yeah. You probably don't remember that because you were...
No, I do remember that because my brother's a Tech fan.
He was the was he Reggie Ball's offensive
coordinator?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
And Calvin Johnson, though, so it's kind of unfair.
It is unfair. He did not fare well at Miami, but who has? So
we didn't have Calvin Johnson at Miami.
Right.
He was working for Randy Shannon.
Yeah. You guys talk about Derrick Brown? The D-B-O-T-Y?
Defensive player of the year.
Oh, we didn't talk about all the other guys. Brent Dierman? You didn't bring him up? Bobby
Dierman? I'm a fan of Dierman.
I don't think Dierman's coming, though, because he would want to call plays.
I think he's... Yeah, he's kind of got his reign of the offense.
He wants to be a head coach. Kansas. I don't think. He's
got a couple years till he'll be a head coach.
Right,
I think.
Right. What
coming out of
Bobby Bentley?
He got fired at South Carolina.
Yeah.
In midseason.
Why do we want him?
Because he worked for Gus before.
Worked for Gus before.
That's the trend. Is people that have worked for Gus before?
Yeah, I see that. I would just take Cody Burns over the guy that was not a good enough offensive coordinator for the Will Muschamp offense.
Well, who is though?
Will Muschamp.
He would be more like an analyst.
Yeah.
That
team did beat Georgia this year.
This is a higher paid version of what Butch Jones is doing in Alabama.
Yeah.
Well, Butch Jones is not making any money. So
look, people act like Gus is the only head coach to ever call his own plays.
A lot of guys, Lane Kiffin probably does.
Doesn't work out for a lot of people. Didn't work out for Mike Shula too well. Only did win 10 games. But
Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl doing it. Literally won a Super Bowl doing it.
He also got fired doing it.
Eventually, it didn't work out, but it did work out.
It happens more at that level because, like, Sean Payton does it.
Yeah.
Well, he lost Joe Brady.
Also, literally won a Super Bowl calling his own plays. Right.
I think it seems to work out more at that level. Steve Spurrier did it. Won national championship.
Could you fathom Steve Spurrier letting another person call plays?
No.
There would be no...
And that's who Gus has always wanted to be. I don't see...
I don't think Spurrier...
I don't see why people have such a big problem.
That that's a thing to do. Like, wait, what? No, we're talking about...
If Spurrier were still coaching, he'd have Steven Garcia on the sideline as his offensive coordinator.
Just standing there, bringing him Coors Originals.
And a nine iron. And a nine iron, picking up golf balls.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's the only guy to ever do it, and I don't know. I think it's because people have in their mind, well, we can't ever attract a good offensive coordinator. Because
you hired an offensive coordinator.
Because you hired an offensive coordinator as your head coach.
Yeah. You don't need a good
Anyway.
If you hired Mack Brown as your head coach, you would need to attract a good offensive coordinator, because Mack Brown probably calls him ball plays. He probably doesn't really know a lot of plays.
We hired a great offensive coordinator when we had a defensive head coach last time.
Sure, we hired Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
He was the hot up-and-coming offensive
coordinator. Hired Scott Leather. I'm not going to talk about that.
Oof.
Hey, he might be in the market. He's only at Bowling Green as a head coach or something.
They're the worst team in Division I.
BBG had gotten fired yet?
Isn't he the worst? Aren't they the worst team in Division One?
No, somebody's 0-12 this year. Somebody in the MAC.
It's them.
I don't think it is.
I'm looking it up. Bowling Green Eagles.
Isn't that who he's coaching?
Yes.
Okay. Bowling Green football. Ryan, what state is Bowling Green football in?
They're not in the Bowling Green that I would think. They're in Ohio?
Tennessee.
No. Guys. I'm thinking of Bowling Green, Kentucky.
It is Kentucky.
No,
they're in Ohio. You're right.
Yeah, no. I'm going to say Western Kentucky is in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
That's where Urban Meyer got his start, was Bowling Green.
Right.
It's in Ohio. Dr. McLaughlin was in Bowling Green.
They went 3-8 this year under Scott Leffler.
Yeah.
I can't believe Ohio is that close to Tennessee. I just don't think of it being that close to Tennessee.
Because they're orange?
It's like a 45-minute drive.
This is your geography podcast, the Orange and True podcast. Where is Ohio? So Derek Brown, defensive player of the year.
Yeah, if he played offense, he'd probably be the offensive player of the year.
Not unanimous for defensive player of the year.
Which is absurd. In the SEC.
Well, did Delpit get some votes?
Well, maybe. And maybe also a teammate of Derek Brown's might have gotten a vote.
I highly doubt it.
I mean, Ron Davis.
You got plenty of player of the week.
Ron Davis won four player of the week.
I know, but I highly doubt it.
Is it four player of the week?
Knowing
four
who's voting
of the week.
Knowing who's voting.
Four player of the week.
I highly doubt.
Player of the week is one term. Apostrophe S.
Was this the AP?
No, not
apostrophe. No. It's one term and then just plural.
Yeah, I think he won four player of the week awards.
Is this the AP player of the year for SEC?
Yes,
for the SEC. Yes.
Yeah, and not invited to the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, Josh Vitale voted for him. He's a Heisman voter, and he voted for him.
I mean, Chase Young is incredible.
I'm not saying he should have.
Josh Vitale's right, too. Like, this isn't like, oh, you only get one defensive player.
Right. Why
is Chase Young there and not Derek Brown?
Right. I'm not saying the other guys didn't deserve to be there. I'm saying he deserved to be there, too. They can invite as many people as they want.
It just means
you didn't get enough votes, and that's what I'm saying. You should have gotten more votes.
He's never going to have the stats being a big defensive tackle.
I will say Jalen Hurts may not have been there, but like he's not going to win.
Well,
and Jalen Hurts has about as good chance as I do of winning this thing this year.
Well, I mean, this is... Joe Burrow's going to win this in a landslide, right? Like, this isn't going to be close.
If he doesn't win, it's going to be the worst Heisman.
Well, because there are two. So, I would say the Midwest votes are not going to go his way. But
he's from Ohio.
Well, that's true. But the other two guys play for Ohio State.
Yeah, but they'll split those votes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They're going to split them, so... It helps.
Akron is 0-12.
Unlike
Gus. Oh, the Akron Zips. Terry's gone. You telling me Terry left a program in such a state that it could go 0-12? You're telling me that? Really? I'm shocked.
You know what I read about those Heisman? I read those Heisman candidates. I think to myself, man, if only Gus didn't have to rely on transfer quarterbacks to succeed. Unlike these great schools like Ohio State.
Everyone has a transfer quarterback. Everyone.
You need to do it like Georgia is with Jake Fromm.
Oh.
Hey, hold on.
LSU can't develop a quarterback, I guess.
LSU, Oklahoma.
They have to get these transfers.
There's only one that's not a transfer.
There are only two good quarterbacks this decade have been transfers.
Yeah. Lincoln Riley can't develop a quarterback. Has to keep getting these transfers every year.
Three straight Heisman finalists, all transfers.
Yeah, if you can do it, do it. Gus can do it. He's beaten Alabama three times with transfer quarterbacks.
I just have a problem when you start relying on transfers everywhere.
He beat Alabama four times. Once as a coordinator, three times as a head coach.
Gus.
75% of the time, transfer quarterback.
Do you count a graduate as a transfer?
Yeah. Okay.
I think this is a long play. Joey Gatewood. He's going to transfer back to Auburn.
Oh.
We're going to win the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, he could get a waiver for that, moving closer to home.
I can't wait till Court Sandberg wins an Iron Bowl.
Oh.
Like he's not?
After Bo Nix goes to
He transferred NFL. From the Phillies.
Yeah, after Bo Nix goes to the NFL and Court applies for an
extra year eligibility. Yeah, does he count as a transfer? That's a good question.
Court's going to apply for an extra year eligibility so that he's a fifth-year senior at 31 years old.
Chris Winkie. Is that what you're talking about?
30
Brandon Weeden. Do you remember Chris Winkie? He was nearly 40 years old.
Yeah, I know. My version of that's Brandon Weeden.
You don't know
I know who he is. I don't remember
him. Brandon Weeden was...
He was out of the league when
I was like Brandon Weeden was 28 years old.
Yeah.
His Heisman Trophy finalist year. He was in there at the Heisman banquet with everybody's dad.
Chris Winkie is literally the oldest looking Heisman.
You know he was buying everybody on the team beer.
Well, of course.
Like every single person. So Auburn got Minnesota in the Outback Bowl. Minnesota.
Yeah. We don't really need a preview Eagles, right? Quite yet.
Oh, no. We got a while.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll talk to Daily Gopher folks.
We'll get Crow's hot takes on Outback appetizers.
Yeah, it's the you order the Bloomin' Onion. Oh. That's why you're going to Outback.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only reason. The steaks aren't that good. Yeah. Come on.
You can cook a better steak.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a restaurant? Like a chain restaurant where you can get a steak that you can't cook better than that?
That's a great question. Outback's probably the best.
Maybe.
Of the chain. Well, unless you're talking about like Ruth's Chris. Like
oh, well. Yeah, I'm not, that's high end.
You mean like fast casual.
$30.
Longhorn, Logan's, that area.
Yeah, salt.
Longhorn's okay. Saltgrass is pretty good. Does that count though?
I think that counts. I would say
spreading.
Saltgrass
is probably
better.
There's one there on 280, isn't there?
Yeah, there is now.
I would take, but man, I can't cook a blooming onion at the house. I have no idea how I would accomplish that.
I mean, there's ways to do it, but it's never going to turn out. And the sauce, you can't get that. The sauce you can buy at the store, but it's not. It doesn't taste the same.
It's just Chick-fil-A sauce, isn't it?
No, it's like. It's spicy and I don't know.
I'll tell you what else is good at Outback is that bread. The brown bread.
That's the reason you go.
That's the reason you go. It's the free brown bread.
They're getting stingy with it lately, too.
I haven't been to Outback Steakhouse in probably... The last Outback Steakhouse
I go,
was in Saudi Arabia.
I go nearly every time we win the Outback Bowl so I can get my Bloomin' Onion.
See the lettuce record there where we eat our Bloomin' Onion?
Today is there's like a free Bloomin' Onion today if you go.
They're always giving away food. Nobody, millennials are killing these.
Nobody
wants to tip.
Millennials are killing the fast casual restaurant. And it's because we don't want to eat at fast casual restaurants. It's the reason why we're killing it.
Well, and the food is just really homogenous and not that great. It's great when it's a special thing when you're like 10.
Yeah.
I used to slam some Chili's.
Oh, I grew up in a town.
Gives you a Chili's gift.
I grew up in a town. The only place we had like this was Western Sizzlin' and Shoney's. Man. So whenever I go out of town, I get to go to Chili's in Auburn, buddy. I was excited.
I remember getting to go to Chili's.
RIP Chili's in Auburn.
Chili's started in Dallas, and to me, I thought it was a Dallas thing. So when I would go to Dallas to visit my grandmother, we'd go to Chili's and I would get cherry Coke and make it at the bar.
Yeah, they did.
With like grenadine syrup and put cherries in it. I thought, so good. This is living. I can't even fathom a better version of life.
Seriously,
than this Chili's right there.
Now, as someone whose grandfather, we went to Applebee's after I graduated from Auburn because high living.
Nice.
My grandfather, a doctor, by the way, loved the filet mignon at Western Sizzlin'.
So, okay.
Western's
not as good of a steak as Outback, I would say.
Is that chain?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
He claimed it.
The only one I've ever seen is at the top of 280 at Exit 62 here.
Oh. It's one of the few ones left in the world.
It's not the only one I've ever seen.
There's one in Fort Payne. Big time. It's a duck hunt with the owner.
It's not a chain that is...
That's that down home.
Western Sizzlin' and Sizzler are both chains that are not growing.
Sizzler sounds like an app.
Probably is, Ryan.
Western Sizzlin' is spelled the way you would imagine an app would be spelled.
But all these places are places that seem awesome when you're a kid, and then you grow up and you realize, oh, this food's not that good.
Is that the Outback Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Is that Tampa? Perfect. Tampa?
Oh, no. Tampa is Sizzler.
Did you see, I think it was Auburn football official account. It was like New Year's in Paradise and a picture of like, the beach in Tampa.
Oh, I was going to say
that. Like, Paradise is Tampa?
Are they going to show gentlemen's clubs? Yeah. Is that what they're going to have? Because it is the capital.
I do like Tampa. That's a fine, all right place.
It's close. It's near Disney World.
It's close-ish. I don't think we're going to be down there for guests.
30 minutes.
There are 99 franchises of Western Sizzlin' across 19 United States.
It used to be a little bigger.
Mostly in... No, none in Florida.
Indiana.
So Western Sizzlin' used to be like a cafeteria style.
Arkansas, it's too big.
Where you would go in, you'd grab your tray. It used to be like Quincy's. Did you ever go to Quincy's?
I know a guy named Quinn.
Oh, Jesus. you go in, you grab a tray.
Quinn.
You'd wait in line. You'd order at a it's sort of like bow and arrow.
It was cafe style?
Yeah.
Or cafeteria style.
It's like bow and arrow in very few ways.
Yes, very few ways. Now, they did have a slamming breakfast buffet once upon a time.
Similar to Shoney's.
Not as good as Shoney's.
Yeah, Shoney's is a great breakfast
I used to go to Kiwanis meetings with my dad. And
yeah.
I got sick off the eggs there one time because they were disgusting.
At Shoney's?
No, Western Sizzlin'.
Shoney's used to have French toast sticks.
Oh, yeah. Shoney's is the premier breakfast buffet. I don't know.
Let me read you the story of Western Sizzler.
Oh, I've never heard this. My aunt works for Western
Sizzler. This is from Wikipedia.
Yeah, we are just betraying Outback.
Western Sizzler was established in 1962 by a man named Nicholas Passarella. He was traveling around the United States in search of cheap land upon which to build a steakhouse. And he stopped in Augusta, Georgia because of a flat tire. Wow. It was the employees at the tire store who convinced him to set up his restaurant in Augusta.
Man, that's simpler times.
That's how it's
simpler times.
They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy
in 1993. Oh.
Western Sizzlin', the steak of the masters.
Yeah. It was bought by Frank Corning.
I believe at one point. It's the widest steak you've ever eaten.
Yeah, let me look up the Wikipedia for Outback Steakhouse. We'll play a little bit of Outback Steakhouse trivia tonight.
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess it has nothing to do with Australia.
It's an Australian-themed American casual dining restaurant.
So we're not
based in
Tampa?
Tampa, Florida.
Oh!
Shane has over 1,000 locations. Like I said, the last one I ate at was in Saudi Arabia.
Exotic, beautiful Tampa. Keyword exotic. Because of the dancers, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The Bloomin' Onion is a 1-pound onion cut to bloom open, breaded, deep fried, and served with mayonnaise horseradish sauce.
No, that's how it grows, I'm telling you.
It's delicious. James Jones hates it.
He's wrong. Chili's has the Awesome Blossom, discontinued, Lone Star Steakhouse, and Saloon Texas Rose, but many of the Bloomin' Onions have come under fire for high calorie counts, some of them getting over 1,500 calories.
Oh, yeah. But
you're not supposed to eat that by yourself.
Oh, I have.
I mean, it's possible.
When it's free.
Yeah.
I've never eaten a whole one by myself. Now, when I was a kid, maybe I got close to eating about a half. I could eat.
Oh, that's definitely one of those things when you're like a 16-year-old. Oh, yeah. And your friend get to it.
Oh, yeah. The company and its founders are major contributors via the Outback Steakhouse PAC to the Republican Party, contributing $303,000 in 2004 election cycles.
All right.
Yeah, it's one of the largest donors in the food and beverage sector, second only to the National Restaurant Association.
Oh.
There you go. So,
they're not even Chick-fil-A is contributing that much?
Chick-fil-A contributes to the Salvation Army. Anyway.
Yeah. That's a political action committee. They even set up their own political action committee.
But I thought Chick-fil-A hates the libs.
Sure. Well, not as much as apparently Outback does. The company owns two blimps named Bloomin' Onion 1 and 2.
Oh!
Yeah, the company had a meeting.
Is this a publicly traded company? Has to be.
You would think so. But maybe not. It's a wholly owned subsidiary.
Oh, by who? Some conglomerate?
Owned by the OSI Restaurant Partners.
Yeah, it's going to say the National Restaurant Association.
I know. Bloomin' Brands Incorporated.
They own Carrabba's and Bonefish. Oh, yeah.
Red Lobster, right?
Maybe. Yeah.
No, Red Lobster, Olive Garden are the same. I don't think that's maybe different.
It's on NASDAQ.
I'm just thinking of the gift cards.
I get like a gift card for Outback like every year, but
it's on NASDAQ as BLMN. It is a Bloomin' Brands who owns Abbraccio in Brazil. Who's Fish Grill, Carrabba's, Fleming's, and Outback.
Who's their biggest shareholder?
Boom, 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 boom. This is great radio.
So there's going to be two Australians playing in this game.
Yeah, one of them is literally Goliath.
Yeah.
Just the biggest man ever to live.
Spoiler, it's not Aaron Sipos.
No.
Oh, he's really big.
400 pounds, 6'9".
Very nice. He's a very nice 400 pounds.
Very nice 400 pounds, indeed.
Wow.
He is large and very good.
And Derrick Brown is still going to throw him around.
I think he played at IMG, and I believe I read Jason Caldwell inside the Auburn Tigers say that he was a very good player. So this kid's pretty good. Don't know why he's playing for the Minnesota Screaming Eagles, but Hayden Fox really coaching him up. Oh, well, he might be coaching Orlando now, the pro team in Orlando. Ryan, this is all plot from
Sullivan, Basham, and Gannon, quickly referred to as Kangaroo Holdings, of the largest shareholders.
Lord, these people. Is this cultural appropriation?
More than ever. More than anything else.
Are these people Australian?
None of these from Tampa. They're all from Tampa.
Well, Australia as a whole is cultural appropriation anyways.
Well. David Dino is a former CEO. Or he is the CEO.
David Dino.
We call him Dino.
He sounds like a guy that would drink a Foster's.
Australian for a CEO. He's the former CEO of Quiznos.
Moving up in the world.
Yeah. Jeez. And Yum Brands.
It's Quiznos.
Speaking so we went from Quiznos to like KFC to now Bloomin' Brands. Which used to be the owner of the Cheeseburger in Paradise chains. Oh. No longer.
No, they're gone.
I think Jimmy may get those back.
Really?
Jimmy Buffett's a billionaire. I think he owns all of his own stuff now. He's
I'm sure. Yeah.
He's the American.
You know, I used to love Landshark beer. It's not a bad beer.
I mean, it's just like a different Corona.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, guys, what did we learn today?
Oh, we still have some show notes here, right?
No, we don't. We're talking about how bad LSU beat Georgia.
Oh, God, they killed him.
We're not going to talk about how bad LSU beat Georgia.
Animal
as bad as Clemson beat Virginia.
Well, yeah.
Clemson has not had a hard game all year. They almost lost some games, too, and they have not had a hard game all year.
Should have lost with Carolina.
Right.
Yeah, Matt Brown, coach of the best of
your Baylor Bears, man. I thought they were going to do it. They just...
Baylor, you look at Baylor, it is really the team that the stats do not understand. Like, they had, like, 5 wins this year that they should have lost. Like, by every advanced stat, said they should have lost. And, like, strength of schedule, this guy does the strength of schedule where he's like, number of losses an average team would have. And he has one that's like games in which you played like an average or below average team.
Six of them.
Three of them. They should have 3 losses. They don't. They have 2 losses, both to the same team, and they should have won both of those games.
That's insane.
Yeah. Baylor had a
instead,
chance.
They're going to play Georgia. The worst game of the year against Georgia.
They could beat them because Georgia's going to have a bunch of dudes
sit out. They could. I'm not watching that game.
It's going to be like 10-7.
Yeah, because Baylor doesn't.
I'm not watching.
Baylor has a really good defense.
They cannot score.
It's weird to watch Baylor Oklahoma be a defensive game. Yeah. Really.
Well, Baylor played 3 quarterbacks in that game.
I didn't notice that. I wasn't paying that close attention.
Yeah. Not by choice.
No. Great.
Yeah, I didn't watch that game either. But not. I wanted to.
They did absolutely.
You're hoping the Bears maul the Dogs.
Yeah, I don't want to.
They're gonna win that mascot battle just like Texas did last year.
I think if I'm Kirby Smart, I'm just showing the fact that, hey, look, we lost to Texas last year because you dopes didn't take this game seriously. And then we had a whole year of Texas is back because they beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl.
All I want out of this Cotton Bowl.
Are they ever going to be back, Crow, Texas?
They'll be back.
All I want out of this Cotton Bowl is a George Pickens fight.
They're not in the Cotton Bowl, they're in the Sugar Bowl.
Sugar Bowl. Yeah. See, that's how much I'm paying attention to this game.
Well, the word is George Pickens may not even play.
We can't go to the NFL yet.
Is that casually liable?
He ain't going to the NFL. And it's rumor is
that he's not.
This is not libelous. I'm not saying it's not libelous if I don't confirm it as fact, right?
Sources are telling you.
Rumor is he does not. He may not be able to participate any further in collegiate athletics.
Who could have seen that?
I know you get just these things. They just sneak up on you.
Yeah, it happens.
I don't really know. I just hated for everybody involved.
Hate to see it.
We
got some transfers though.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Marquise McClain, who we kind of thought was transferred before the season, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Did he play a snap?
He played a little bit in some of the blowouts. I mean, he's one of those guys that everybody thought was like he had the tools to be a good receiver. And just never could crack it on the depth chart.
That sucks.
So, wish the best for him. I mean, I'm sure he'll be able to go somewhere.
Because if he couldn't get in that Iron Bowl and we didn't have a receiver on the roster left, he's not getting in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he kind of saw where he stood. I don't know if he's transfer.
What are we going to do about wide receiver next year?
We're not losing anybody. I mean, we're losing Will Hastings and Sal, and that's it.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Well, he was the only guy to catch a touchdown in the Iron Bowl this year, and that's it. Okay.
As he was heard saying at Southeastern after the Iron Bowl, he's going to show out in the league.
Who is Sal?
Sal.
Can't wait.
Good. I hope so.
I can't wait for him to show out in the league.
Hey, that catch was a big boy catch.
I mean, that was one of my favorite drives in Auburn football history.
I'm going to miss that. I'm going to sure miss the hair.
It was a 3-catch drive where we had...
Just the dumbest catches.
Just 3 back-to-back-to-back.
Has there ever been a player play for Auburn and just... Look like he does not belong in Auburn.
He looks like he should be like a roadie for the Black Crows.
Yeah, like he just doesn't look
like... He looks
like
he should be the star at Rutgers.
He doesn't look like an Auburn football
player. But hey, I loved him.
Salvador, that's what I loved about him, though.
Yeah.
You know what? He wasn't the best receiver. He wasn't the most consistent guy. But he came in. He made some big plays.
He got big plays. He got big touchdowns.
He didn't have a ton of targets.
No, he didn't. Yeah.
Well, because he was a tight end at first.
Yeah, well.
And then he said that big catch against Washington.
Yeah.
Big catch in the Iron Bowl.
Big catch at Oregon.
Yeah.
A lot of spectacular catches in his...
He only catches touchdowns. That's the problem. He's not targeted that much.
Yeah, he's not targeted at all.
But when he catches it, it's touchdown.
He had a drop in the LSU game, I think. People will remember. But anyway, next year's going to be fun, right?
And then so we're also losing Michael Harris, freshman linebacker.
You could have told me that was the comedian that's touring.
Sure, Bill Burr, yeah.
And I would have believed
it. That's right. Like,
now, AU Nerd was, for Bill Burr. I think AU Nerd was a little torn up about it.
But, well, yeah. Hey, look, Nerd gets invested in the teenage boys. It's fine. I've been there. You can get help. We appreciate him. Look, I appreciate him being...
his Christmas is a week before ours.
That's true.
Is he Orthodox?
It didn't used to be.
I think he's more of a 24/7 guy.
Christmas used to be in February, though, for me. And now it's not.
It was for signing day?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Super Bowl.
I never was that into it, man.
I've never cared about a Super Bowl. Except when the Dirty Birds were in it when I was like 14.
Not even the Cam?
I cared about that one. I choose to
1995 when the Cowboys beat the Bills.
I should say I've cared about one Super Bowl post
2000.
Yeah, pretty much. It was the Cam one. I used to care about the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I like the boys. I had some Cowboy sweatpants.
Now we're talking.
Also had some Miami Dolphins gear as well.
Well, guys. I already asked, what did we learn? You guys didn't answer. I was going to close the show.
I've got one more thing.
Oh, okay. What did you learn today, Ryan?
Oh, we didn't talk about my Wayfair purchase either.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what you learned. No, we're going to have one more episode. I think I'm going to get Will and Nerd back on for some Cruton talk.
Oh,
you guys don't have to attend.
So a good episode.
If you would like
to call in, you're more than welcome.
An actual factual episode.
Yeah. Well, I think I know Crow's answer here.
I don't know if the listeners are ready for this, but...
I should get the stomach flu and call in again.
That's what I'll do. So we're going to do something middle of the week, get you guys ready for signing day.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to let Nerd talk. I'm literally going to just have a couple prompts.
Why is Will on there?
Well, we got a little basketball to talk to.
I like Will.
Early signing for basketball happens.
Wait, don't
yeah, we
subject Will?
Is it the same time or football? Is it now?
No, we already have.
Oh, that's right. We already have.
That's right.
Yeah.
We signed the kid from Kentucky. Kentucky's best player. Eat that, Calipari.
Yeah. He's running Calipari. Doing okay.
Yeah.
Recruiting-wise again this year.
I ordered something off Wayfair.
How'd that go?
Well, we got it from Black Friday, so it was a significant discount, and built it today. Did okay. Managed to put a nail through the finish on. When you have to nail the things in the back. You can't see. You're blind. I'm
sure.
Hammered it in. Just put a little Mickey Mouse plush on top of it. It's looking all right. It's just one of the. What do they call it? It's a hall tree. I think that's what they call it.
Sure.
You know what that is? I'd never heard that term.
I'm assuming it looks like a Christmas tree, but it's for the rest of the year.
Nope. It's a. It's like a. Little thing when you hang coats on, put your shoes in. I don't know. I'll post a picture.
Kurt, what'd you learn today?
I learned a lot about Outback Steakhouse and the way that business is structured.
I enjoyed that. Informative.
I learned something about a movie called Coach.
It's a television show.
I didn't learn that much.
Ran from 1989 to 1997.
It might be on Netflix. If it is,
I think
you should
it is.
Watch it.
It's good. I hated it as a kid. I was like, this is weird. They're talking about sex? Well, come on. And then I watched it as a teenager and adult. I'm like, oh, this is good.
It was no Night Court, which is my favorite show as a kid. I love that show.
I love Night Court, too. It's got Dick Van Dyke's little brother in it. Do you know who Dick Van Dyke is, Ryan?
I do.
Here's the deal. Okay. Coach Hayden looks just like my Uncle Chuck. So it's always a great thing to watch.
You don't know who Craig T. Nelson is, though.
Craig T. Nelson, that's what I mean.
That's
He was in the movie Blades of Glory.
Oh, he was.
Okay.
Starring Will Ferrell and the
Poltergeist.
How about The Mandalorian?
The best Star Wars thing since Return of the Jedi.
Episode 4 was a little shaky. 5.
Oh, I liked 4 more than 5.
I'm enjoying it because it's
I think
not...
5 was way too much fan service.
Oh, 5 was like Star Wars Mad Libs. Well, I had enough good in it that I enjoyed it. 4 was just...
I have a feeling 6 is going to be the most fan service.
More? Than 5?
The little teaser at the end?
That's... Come on, people.
Okay, I'll defer to you, Chief.
Let's not get crazy.
I'm enjoying that it's actually just in kind of an anthology kind
of
show.
I'm glad it's there.
3 may be the best episode of television I've watched. Oh,
my God. 3 is...
Yeah, but no, but it's not trying to build into the Star Wars universe. It's just, it's yeah, doing its thing. It's there. It's fine.
Although
it's,
you say that, but then there's the asset there that seems to...
It's not Yoda, though.
Should have... Well, you don't know what it is, Ryan, because they haven't
Unless
told
Yoda's
us.
A time traveler, and if we're doing time travel on Star Wars...
No, they can come back to life with the Force.
Well, there's things...
The Force baby?
No, there's... There's things...
I'm getting Chief real mad right now, guys.
There's things called clones in this universe, right? And we've seen some things...
But he's 50 years old.
We're trying not to spoil things on the...
Yeah, look, guys. Everyone's turned this off. Just kind of watch the Mandalorian.
That's why I said asset. I didn't come out and yell about what
look,
it is.
Look, if you've looked on Twitter at all in the last 5 weeks...
Anyway...
You've seen the memes.
That seems fairly significant, and it could... play a part somewhere in the Star Wars universe down the line. You don't know.
All right.
Bo knows.
You guys.
The pod racing seems the best, though. That's all I'm talking
about. Now this is pod racing.
Good God.